Blog Talk Radio. Tonight. All right, shalom, good evening, everybody. Welcome once again to another episode of Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk. As you know, my name is Mashallah. I have one of the teachers with the ISBHBK, that's the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge, that has been teaching. The ISBHBK has been around since, or known as the ISBHBK, since about 2010, around the same time we moved to Atlanta. And Kazaki was doing up Houston. But we've actually been around since, I've been involved in this teaching since 1989, as a matter of fact. And in the schools that we got set up under, one of the greatest teachers that we've ever had, not to take away or give any extra glory to him, the brother Ariala, Kazaki's father. When he first came out in the spirit of the Most High on the real, coming out of New York City, forsaking his family, forsaking his children. At the time, he had five wives to come out and teach outside of New York. Because before that, there was no teaching taking place outside of New York City officially. And then 1992, September of 1992, the brother Ariala, with the brother Aharon and then the brother Kawakab. We was able to get a bus ticket, train ticket, as a matter of fact. We got some train tickets. And they headed out from New York City, stopped in Chicago, and they came down to Albuquerque. And from there, we started spreading schools to the West Coast. Albuquerque was known as the Stream of Knowledge. And some beautiful brothers that was there, and that's where we met the brother Bonaparte, started teaching him. As he came to the truth at that time. And again, that was 92 going into 93 when he came in. And then we wanted to go into California, where Kawakab was already from. And Kawakab, me and him pretty much came into truth at the same time. But he actually was being mentored by Ariala out in Los Angeles. And in 92, we got back out there. And then they got the official school named the Shield of Wisdom. When we started street teaching on Venice Beach, eventually the brother Rapat came in, who happened to bring in his teenage son, a Warden Iyer. That's when he actually finally came in. And that had to be around 96, 97, maybe 98 that a Warden actually came in. But I take it back, it had to be about 94, 95 that he actually came in, him and his brother Ashar. And then we, at the same time, also in 92, as when we first got to San Antonio, where the brother Yohanagas, twin brother Kazayan, had came down. I dropped the truth on him in 89, and then he wound up coming down to San Antonio with his best friend Ariashamar, and they worked with the brother Dalia, and that's where they formulated the school that became known as the Sword of Truth. And then as our travels were spreading and the teaching was going on, we wanted to get in the House of Discipline out of Oklahoma. And eventually the brother Aviar up in Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska, and then also the school getting started down in Miami. we was all part of the ISUBK. Before it became under just General Yohana, it was under the Seven Elders. Masha, Ariah, Yankwab, Lahab, Yeshayah, Shar, and Kazak, which happened to be at 1 West 125th Street. And they got started teaching back in the 70s. Right? They actually started teaching back in the 70s. And then going even further back, you had the brother Abba Bivens, who at first, Mosai had anointed him with the knowledge that the blacks in America were the true Jews. And that even that the Puerto Ricans and the Mexicans were part of the 12 tribes. So it's been an evolution. I thank the Most High for his grace and his mercy and keeping his word and his prophecies that we would get to this point, that we're growing. To know that at one time, Passover was held at 1 West 125th Street, which was not a very small, large building at all. It was a very small office. It was a very small office. And for it to grow to where we've got the brothers in IUIC doing 1,000-man marches through the streets of Tennessee, in Nashville, through the streets of Chicago. Again, being a branch of, well, the original 1 West, 125th Street, ISUBK. And before it was the ISUBK, as far as the Israelite School of Universal Practical Knowledge, the founders of the school, and then the Israeli School of Universal Practical Knowledge. And then it evolved to where you see all the, you go on YouTube, you see all the numerous camps, what have you, which is a beautiful thing, which is showing that the prophecy that Christ and the Most High said was going to happen, they're definitely coming fast and coming true about the Great Awakening, of the nation of Israel, and our final salvation from our last captivity that we as a nation will ever have to go through again, the final escape, the final Passover, the final salvation from Babylon the Great, spiritual Egypt, or America. Hence, we have the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, which states, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, we're waiting. As we're trying to wake up the 12 lost tribes of the nation of Israel to prepare for God's kingdom, not to stay here in America, not to get settled in. And matter of fact, even the scripture, here the final form says, "Arise, depart, this is not your rest." It's in Micah, I believe. That it's been a transition. It's been, and again, like I said, an evolution. That when we did come in back in the early 90s, 89 is when I came in, that we were teaching that Christ was going to come before the year 2000. So there was an urgency to get this word out, get this word spread, to prepare for Christ's coming, and for his and knowing that the salvation of the nation of Israel, that is going to be simultaneous with the destruction of Egypt. Just like we read in the Bible, in ancient Egypt, when Moses was led by the Father for the salvation of the children of Israel with the Exodus, that was the destruction of Egypt at that time. And ancient Egypt at that time was the world power. It was the superpower of the earth at that time. It was the leader in what would be known as technology, but they called it magic back then. They were the leaders in technology. They were the leaders in military warfare. They were the leaders in science and education. To this day, Egyptian mathematics is still being used and studied, even to this very day. Egyptian medicines is still being used and researched to this very day. So Egypt was a very prominent power back then, and it took an act, a miracle, of the Lord God of Israel to give us that deliverance. But upon that deliverance again, it was the destruction of Egypt at that time. So as we know, this in the same similar fashion, that as our people finally be delivered from this spiritual Egypt, from this Babylon the Great, as known in Revelations, that it's going to be contingent upon the destruction of America. In every bit of the lifestyle, every bit of the quote-unquote liberties that America encourages, legalizes, what have you, that none of that is going to be done in the kingdom of the Most High, and that it's time for us to awake out of sleep. It's time for us, for now is our salvation, even nearer than we believe, from Romans chapter 13, verse 11. But do you have a scripture for me?
Micah chapter 2, verse 10. "Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest."
And this was a prophecy that was given, again, by the prophet Micah, letting us know by the times For the days we're living in now, they were supposed to arise and depart, that this is not our rest. That as much as people want to get so settled here in America now, and really want to enjoy the liberties they've seen colonizers enjoy, they want to live the good life. They want to live in the suburbs. They want to have the houses and the rental houses and the secondary incomes coming in, and want to enjoy the vacations and the Airbnbs, and just want to really just get in rooted in America now and live the fullest of what it means to be an American citizen. That, brothers and sisters, I'm sorry to say, that is not the prophecies of God. That's not the plan of God concerning the children of Israel. That we as much as we want reparations and we want our piece of the pie as far as Americans, the scriptures are telling us right here. We read that one more time.
Micah chapter 2, verse 10. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest.
That this place of America, for as much as Americans have pushed for the past 500 years, God bless America, America's the greatest country on the planet, make America great again, that this is not the place God had built for Israelites to rest. This is not the place that God had built for Israelites to get settled in, to get happy with, to get comfortable in. And we keep fighting to want to be comfortable here in this place that he did not design for our comfort. Guess what place he already built and designed for our comfort? It was the promised land. It was the land of milk and honey. It was a land where the food was so nutritious and so fertile, the soil was so fertile, we had no sicknesses because you were getting all your minerals. There was no need to buy supplements. There was no need for the GNCs, the whole foods, the sprouts. There was no need for these health food stores. You know, one thing our elders used to teach back in the 80s and in the 90s, that you had to question, why is there a need to create health food stores? If you have to create health food stores, they must be sold in a regular store. That now you have to go to a health food store. As we see now on TV, you can't get past a commercial and they're not advertising some type of medication that, not that you have to go to your doctor and ask about the symptoms, you have to go to your doctor and ask him and tell him about the symptoms. Everything's got so switched and turned upside down that you need medication for the side effects of the medication. That is crazy. But when we were in the promised land, what God had promised us, the children of Israel, the people that he loved, that is one thing we never had to worry about. We didn't have to worry about no COVID. We didn't have to worry about the quote-unquote common flu, measles, mumps, acne, hemorrhoids, razor bumps, diabetes, lupus, Alzheimer's disease, dementia, broken bones, sprained ankles, dandruff, let's take it there, halitosis, IBF. Come on, to today where people are allergic to peanuts, allergic to bread. How are you allergic? How are we now allergic to bread? When even Christ was in the note saying, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father, that there is a time when the earth was not as polluted and messed up as it is, that a person can live off of bread. Nowadays, we can't even eat bread because of the carbs, because of the gluten. It'll spike your blood sugar too much. It's ridiculous how bad it's gotten, but we don't look at these things. We still look for the American lifestyle, and I want to be a partaker of it. Because the truth of the matter is, we don't believe in the Bible. We really don't believe that what the scripture says. So we're looking for what we've seen on TV, what we've seen in media, and we want to enjoy the hype of the American lifestyle. It's funny, the brother Nagaya just sent me a TikTok this morning. And the girl on TikTok was breaking down that one of Hugh Hefner's, and Hugh Hefner was the founder of Playboy magazine. And I'm not sure if this generation today might even know about what that was, but Playboy magazine was a gentleman's magazine that had some great articles. I mean, that really had great articles. It did news articles, but it also featured nude women. And one of the hacks of the magazine was every cover had the Playboy bunny somewhere on the cover. Now, either it was real blatant or it'd be hidden, but it would always had the Playboy bunny on there. And they had to think about the playmates. But you had the playmates of the month, and at the end of the year there'd be the playmate of the year. Where the playmates from each month, then there'd be like if you want to will a competition, you had the playmate of the year. And they'd be the centerfold. And that's the women would be, I mean, gorgeous, beautiful, graceful. And he was the founder of this. Well, his first wife from back in the 70s, Hugh Hefner's dead now, and she passed away. But some of her memoirs are coming out. And she was saying how at the Playboy Mansion, which was the mansion that Hugh Hefner had built from how rich he got from selling pornography, from selling fantasies, that she was just bringing down just how debaucherous the Playboy Mansion was and how mentally perverted Hugh Hefner actually was. That Hugh Hefner would have sex with their dog in the bed. And that when she confronted him and said something to him about this situation, his reply was, dogs need love too. Need love too. Now, for us coming up in the 70s, in the 80s, Playboy magazine was the epitome. It was the epitome of beauty. The blonde-haired, blue-eyed girls, the Irish girl, the red-headed girls. That's where you got the Farrah Fawcett's from. That's where you got the what was the old girl's name? Pamela Anderson. Now we want to take it there. That's where they got their fame from. Back then, it wasn't an internet and social media where a person could get famous off of just being on social media. The social media back then was, again, a Playboy magazine or things like this, of this nature. But even something like that, it was so debaucherous and so Caligula-like, if you know who Caligula was, that it's sickening. But we want so bad to be able to live that lifestyle, to have those type of mansions and the cars and the fame and the celebrity and the and all the wealth and everything that comes with that. But the Lord is saying that, because that's what we've seen as we're programming our minds, to actually get into the Bible and see what the Bible's saying, that hurts. That's too much. That's boring. That's not helping me keep with my dreams of what I now want to be able to do. That's not that to get into the Bible means that I can't pursue my dream. But there's no understanding that America was never meant to be your dream. This was the place of the Israelites' punishment. It was never meant to be our rest. And you can go back, and the history's coming out now. How many black Wall Streets were established in America after slavery? Not just the Tulsa, Oklahomas. But there were cities, I mean, of affluent black people, voting, entrepreneurs, bankers, businessmen, rich, owning stores, where the black dollar circulated within the black community 8, 9, 10, 11 different times. Grocers, farmers, that we've been there. Councilmen. It's been done, but it was destroyed. It was wiped out. Because of this scripture right here. Read it one more time, please, sir.
Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. Because
this place is polluted. This is the most morally corrupt kingdom that God has ever allowed to be on the planet Earth, even worse than what Rome was, even worse than what the Greeks were. This is the most morally corrupt place on the planet Earth. This is not a present a parent would give a child. You would not give somebody you love, a parent would not give somebody they love, the gift of America. That would not give somebody a bag full of strychnine, arsenic, measles, COVID, HIV, HPV, some type of whatever blood disorder, and you're giving that to your child as a present. This is what America is, but we steadily trying to get settled in this place. And God's like, no, this is not your rest. You're fighting for civil rights. You're fighting for voting rights. You're fighting for rights. And guys, look, at one time before the colonizers got here, there was El Dorado, the Aztec, the city of gold. Where we played with jade down in what was became Mexico, like they were marbles. How did the island of Puerto Rico get the name Puerto Rico, which in Spanish means rich? When the Spaniards got to the island of Puerto Rico, they lost their minds. There was literally diamonds and rubies and pearls on the beaches. It was a rich port, Costa Rica, a rich coast. That the wealth that was here, the resource was here was couldn't be measured. So we've had access to all these things. But it got polluted because we were kicked out of the promised land because of our sins in the first place. But we really got this thing in our mind that now we didn't keep the laws, special commandments, and ways of God in the promised land to enjoy the true blessing he gave us in the promised land. But now I'm blessed because I got a PlayStation 8. I got an Apple Watch. I got some Bitcoins. Really? Brothers and sisters, this is not the blessing of God. This is not the blessing of God. So, again, in reading Micah, it was 2 and 10, right? And I can't believe that I'm forgetting this scripture. We just read the scripture so much. It was almost automatic. And now, even as Israelites, we get away from this scripture, and it's still about the pursuit of entrepreneurship. It's not about we're supposed to be trying to get ready to get out of here. Now it became this thing where when we first came in, it was we got to get ready to go. And the transition slowly came in. Well, since we don't know when we're going to go, we might as well settle in. We don't know when Christ, contrary to what the scripture says, we can't believe in the scriptures no more. We got to go ahead and make the best of it here in America right now. That this is the place of Babylon the Great. This is the devil's kingdom. This is spiritual Egypt. And now all of a sudden, so we don't believe in the Bible no more. We got to make sure we're making the best of it here in America. And it's from being here in America that we became so profane. Once again,
Micah chapter 2, verse 10. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted.
It is polluted. Go ahead.
It shall destroy you.
And this place has destroyed us. Where a lot of Israelites really don't want to leave here. No different than when we came out of ancient Egypt. How many of those people who came out of ancient Egypt, first, while we were in Egypt, we complained about being in Egypt. Then the Lord had saved us out of Egypt, we get to the wilderness and we got nothing but complaint that we wanted to go back to Egypt. How many Israelites? It got so bad that because those Israelites that were over the age of 20 at the time of the Exodus were bitching and complaining so damn much about having to do things God's way in the wilderness, they wanted to go back to Egypt. God said, all right, cool. That's really how it is? And then God brought Israel a real gift. He had 12 spies go out to spy the land that he's going to give us. And two men brought back a branch that held one cluster of grapes. Two ex-slaves had to carry a cluster of grapes between the two of them. Obviously, now you're not going to your local grocery store and picking up a bunch of grapes. You don't. An 8-year-old girl could pick those grapes up. Today would be the whole tree. It was just a cluster, a branch that two ex-slaves had to hold. This was a gift the Most High tried to show Israel. This is what I'm ready to give you. If the grapes are this big, if the grapes are this big, what the hell do you think a watermelon is going to be? What's a grapefruit got? What's a pumpkin or squash or celery? This is the gift I'm giving y'all for free. Not that you are now going to spend your money and need to get some food stamps to get some tainted. I guess now you call it organic. I guess we call it organic now, I guess. That was not the gift. That was a real gift. This place right now is polluted. And look at how much sickness and death and sorrow is here. And now we've served our punishment. We've served our punishment for going against God. But unfortunately, you have a lot of Israelites, just like in ancient Egypt, coming out of ancient Egypt, they were too indoctrinated with the American lifestyle and what they thought good was and what they thought it was to be right, that they got to the wilderness and had to be destroyed. That they got to the wilderness and had to be destroyed. And again, if you were 20, think about that. If you were 20 years old at the time of the Exodus, you didn't make it to the kingdom. You were saved out of the destruction. But because you were so indoctrinated with the Egyptian lifestyle and way of living, then now when it came to actually follow God and do things God's way under the hand of Moses, you rebelled and you had to die. You had to be put to death. And it wasn't that it was somebody ran up on you with a gun. It wasn't that somebody ran up on you with a sword. God just waited for you to get old and drop dead. That, brothers and sisters, that's scary to me. He made you just waste your time. That since we bitched and complained so much about it being a waste of time to serve the Most High the way he wanted to be served, for the Most High to say, let me show you what it means to waste time. I brought you out of Egypt. I'm ready to bring you to the promised land, but you got nothing but complaints? Cool, no problem. And now you're worried about your kids making it. Now, the only reason I brought you out of Egypt is so I can destroy you out here in the wilderness, because that's how extreme your mind got. Cool. Well, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinking, so is he. So you thinking that you're going to waste your time out here walking in the wilderness? You're right now. Because you're using that for an excuse why you don't want to follow the Most High. You want to follow your mind, your thoughts. Now you put things together. Cool. So if that's what you put together and that's preventing you from following me, from being the Most High's point of view, then good. You walk around this desert till you drop dead. 40 years. Let's waste time. Let me show you what it means to waste time. And don't worry about it. If you're 20, you're going to die. But then your children, I'll bring your children into the promised land. Well, they'll serve me. But you will be dead. But not by the way. It's not going to be a thunder or lightning clap out of the sky. It's not going to be a bull got loose and came and just ran your ass over. You're going to just walk around in the desert till you drop dead. Scares me, personally. Now, everybody might be wondering, okay, cool. What's it got to do with the topic of what you have in the class? As you know, here on Blog Talk, I've been going over this class that started almost 2 months ago, I believe, about taking the name of the Lord in vain. That's the one sin that you cannot be forgiven. And as I'm putting this class together, I keep going into it, It's like the rabbit hole, it keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. So for the last three shows, I've been running out of titles, how to title what it means to be profane and profanity. Oh, my goodness. All right, cool. Oh, whew, the mic is on. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, my God. Okay. The mic is on. What it means to be profane and profanity and vulgarity. And in trying to get to it, understanding how much we've been brainwashed and whitewashed to think like white people, to think like colonizers, to think like Europeans from 1492. When Columbus and Merlin Incorporated first got here to the Western Hemisphere and brought their religion, their philosophies, their way of thinking, their everything, and forced it upon the quote-unquote natives, that were the people that were already here. And then from 1619, as the transatlantic slave trade started, and those people that were brought from Africa to the Americas and were forced to be indoctrinated with the American way of living, the American way of thinking, the American colonizers' way of everything, that we really have not been shown and taught God's ways. So even now dealing with profanity, we're thinking profanity is using a four-letter word. And that, again, I've been covering that over the past nine episodes, nine parts here on Blog Talk. But today what I wanted to go into was, as I titled the show, being set apart from the beginning. That is really kind of hard. It's two things that's difficult for me. To have been in this knowledge and study for over 30 years, and the depths of studying I've gotten into over 30 years, and then trying to present it to somebody who has only been in the knowledge maybe 5 years, who might have put a little bit of studying in, that's not distracted with Netflix, Hulu, YouTube, sports, TikTok, YouTube Shorts, social media, to where the attention span has been chilled, that a person can get on a video game for hours, but now let's open the Bible up and they drop into a deep, like, coma within 15 minutes. That by design, our minds have been dumbing down to where if it's some nonsense, it's easy to give your mind over to that, but to get into some real things like the Bible's talking about, that's difficult. And now if we don't do like Ashik Izaki, which is doing a beautiful job, he does the 5 minutes of wisdom, because that's barely about the attention span of anybody trying to serve God. They might be able to give 5 minutes. They might be able to dedicate their minds for 5 minutes to the Bible. When I first came in, we were doing 6-hour classes, 7-hour classes. And wanted to know more, wanted to know if we've been lied to about even just the color of Christ, what else have we been lied to about? What else have we been deceived about? And wanted to go into a search, really wanted to do some studying to really discover these things. Okay, we were taught about Christmas, Easter. We were taught a dietary law. We've been talking about holidays, birthdays. Is all this true? What does it have to do with God? If observing these things, is this getting me closer to God? If being a quote-unquote Christian, is this getting me closer to God? And now getting to the Bible and find out and see that, no. The things that we were given, cannot even be found in the Bible and have nothing to do with the God of the Bible and our salvation. So So with all that going on, like I said, the difficulty becomes how to dispense this knowledge to zombies. I say zombies, and I know a lot of people's minds just went to The Walking Dead, some fucking video game they might be playing or whatever. But zombies, as in what's kind of stated in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, the Valley of Dry Bones. Now, when it comes to the knowledge of God, our people have absolutely no biblical knowledge of God. Zip. Nilch. None. And we're doing a lot of profane acts, polluted acts in the eyes of God, that is a part of just the American lifestyle today. So one thing I want to do is, as the brother Yadav was on, let's get Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. Let's get the book of Exodus chapter 19, verse 6.
Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel.
All right, cool. From Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, when we came, this was us. For Exodus the 19th chapter, this is right before we got to Mount Sinai, after the Exodus, when the Lord gave us the Ten Commandments. Now, contrary to what you've seen on TV and movies or whatever, that day was a scary day. That day, it tells you that the skies got so black that the Mount Sinai literally, it describes it like turning into a volcano. And then the voice of God, we as Israelites actually heard the voice of God, the Ten Commandments. It was a deeply terrifying day. And when you go back and you put together the Josephus and his histories along with biblical studies, it tells you that from the Mount Sinai, we literally ran, sprinted 17 miles to back to our camp, trying to escape the Most High. Just his voice. Let alone, I know who God is. And God, I'm going to have a direct relationship with God. Ain't nobody going to tell me nothing. Contrary to popular belief, that is not how it went down. But this Exodus 7:19 is right before that event happened. It's right before that went down. So in Exodus 7:19, verse 6, again, he says, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So from there, I wanted to go, we're going to go to the Webster's 1913 dictionary. We'll go to the Webster's 1913 dictionary and look at the word holy. All right? And then we're going to come back and we're going to reinsert the definition into the scripture to try and help paint this picture about what was God's purpose for the nation, for the children of Israel. Do you have that for me? If not, I got it right here. Okay. So from the Webster's 1913 dictionary, for the word holy, the first definition means to set apart. Set apart to the service or worship of God. That's the first phrase that's there for the first definition. Set apart to the service or worship of God. So when we come back and read Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, and it says, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation, or a nation that is set apart to the service or worship of God. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. That the children of Israel, brothers and sisters, hold on 1 second, please.
Should my Yahweh, Allah, Yahweh.
Hello.
I can't tell if we're broadcasting or not. But I'm going to continue anyway. If anybody is listening and you're listening live right now, please send me a text with a 1 and let me know that you can hear us. Or if you're online, I did open up the chat room online. If you can go into the chat room and if you put a 1 there in the chat room, let us know how are we being heard. Is it coming through? It's coming across. All right, cool. So getting back now, we were in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, and it says, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." And then from the Webster's 1913 dictionary, for the first definition we have, set apart to the service or worship of God. So as Israelites, if you don't understand why God made you, what is God's purpose for you? Not given or filtered through the eyes of Europeans or the American lifestyle or the European or the colonizers' lifestyle. What is God's purpose for Israelites? God's purpose for being an Israelite is for you to be set apart from everybody else. Not to be like the nations. Not to be like how nations do things, how they get down, how they operate. But for us to be set apart to the service or worship of God. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Reading on with the first definition still from the Webster's 1913 dictionary. Set apart to the service or worship of God. Hallowed, sacred, reserved from profane or common use. That we're not supposed to be, we're supposed to be set apart or reserved from profane or common use. That the things that God has given us as Israelites to do is not for just anybody on earth to be doing. We're supposed to be set apart. Not doing the common things. If that's what everybody else is doing, that's one way to know that's not what God intended for the Hebrew Israelites. If you're only doing what you see everybody else doing, when it comes to education, when it comes to business, when it comes to worship, the American mindset is, well, if everybody's doing it, it must be okay. Well, he's doing it, so it must be all right. They're doing it. Look how many people are worshiping on Easter Sunday, so it must be all right. Look how many people are doing Valentine's, so it must be all right. Look how many people are doing birthdays. It must be all right. According to whom? Doesn't that go in direct opposition of what we're reading right here, right now? But because we don't read the Bible, because we have not been allowed to read the Bible until our minds have been conditioned to see it through the eyes of colonizers, through the eyes of the Europeans who conquered us, that now it don't make, if everybody's not doing it, I don't want to do it. But this is what God set the Israelites up for. It says, reserved from proper or common use, holy vessels, a holy priesthood. This is what we as a nation of Israel were supposed to, this is why we were created. This is why God delivered us from the Egyptians, to be set apart to the service or worship of God. We're just reading the book. And I know that there's a short circuit going on in a lot of people's brains right now, because that's not going along with what their idea of being an Israelite is about. That if I'm not doing what everybody else is doing, that this must be wrong. Real quick, please give me Psalms chapter 147, verse 19 to 20.
Psalm chapter 147, verse 19. He showeth his word unto Jacob.
God does what?
He showeth his word unto Jacob.
God showed his word to Jacob. Jacob was the forefather of the nation of Israel. God showed his word unto Jacob. How did he do that? He literally gave us the Ten Commandments on tablets that he wrote with his finger. Those first two tablets, God literally wrote them with his finger and gave them to Moses. As we heard him dictating what he was writing down, we heard that while the camp of Israel was, while the nation of Israel was sprinting 17 miles back to hide in our tents to escape the voice of God.
Or the simple fact that he's writing these commandments down, and his voice is saying, "Thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not steal." No, the Israelites, you hear this stuff, and they've done that. They have sinned or something like that, in the sense that they're shooting back away from it, maybe. In a sense.
I see where you're coming from, but that's not what's described in the scriptures. It's described in the scriptures that we were trying to escape the words of God because of how loud, how the lightnings, the thundering, the earthquake, and literally the Mount Sinai becoming like a volcano. And God told Moses this was going to confirm to the Israelites that God spoke to Moses, to where the Israelites came back and we told Moses, don't let God speak to us no more. You speak to us. Because it was to be known so we could hear and see and feel the presence of God. Actually hear his mouth, actually hear his words. And it was terrifying. It was terrifying to get away from. Again, I don't know how many people have ever been in a the closest thing I can describe it to, I've been in a tornado here in Albuquerque back when I was in the 11th grade. And above the Sandias, if anybody knows how Albuquerque is fictuated or it's here, above the Sandias, it was the blackest clouds I have ever seen. Everybody's seen storm clouds. They can be a dark gray. And you can see the lightnings. Or what have you. But these, it literally looked like the sky was ripping apart. And above the Sandias, the clouds were, I mean, they were black. They were like the crayon black. They were black. And when lightning struck against those clouds, it was magnified even more. And it was terrifying. And then to see the funnel cloud that started and actually touched down. And it touched down right at Coronado Center. Terrifying. Now imagine that times 10 for what the Israelites saw at the Mount Sinai when the Lord was letting them know who he was. If you've ever been close to a lightning strike, when I was in the 8th grade, we was having a baseball game, and you had the baseball field was right next to it, behind the school, and right next to it you had the soccer field. We had the baseball field, and we're talking less than probably about 100 yards, if that. Lightning struck the soccer field, and the sound of that lightning striking the ground. Again, terrifying. That was one strike. When you go back and read how the lightning strikes, it got louder on purpose to where it was shaking the earth, to where you could feel the air. You could literally feel the air. It was terrifying at the presence of God. The scripture says God is a terrible God.
It was frightening. When the scriptures talk about the fear of God, it means that. The fear of God. This was God making his presence known. This was God making his entrance. So, and he wants Israel to know, again, why I'm the God of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There is no power, no God, nothing else higher than me, greater than me, more powerful than me. And I'm choosing you as the nation I want to deal with. I'm setting you apart from all the other nations. But we were reading that in Psalms chapter 147, verses 19 and 20.
Psalms 147, verse 19. He sheweth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel.
God showed his word unto Jacob. And that's why I was giving an example of where did God actually show his word? On those Ten Commandments, on the two tablets that he actually wrote with his own finger and had Moses bring down from Mount Sinai. He actually wrote his word down. As they say, sign your name here or sign on. He actually wrote, this was his signature. This was his writing. He showed that to the children of Israel. His statutes and his judgments unto Israel. Read.
Verse 20. He hath not dealt so with any nation.
And God has not dealt so with any nation. God's not going to set apart the other nations for them to worship him, to serve him, to be special unto him. He set that for the children of Israel. Read.
And as for his judgments, they have not known them.
The other nation, God never showed his judgments to the other nations. He only did that with the nation of Israel. So the nation of Israel, as he recorded, as he said in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Reading on. From there, this concept of being set apart, this concept of being set apart for the worship and service of God, this goes all the way back to creation. And this is why I titled to be set apart from the beginning. If we know to Genesis chapter 1 verse 20. We're going to read Genesis chapter 1 verse 20 through 22. Genesis chapter 1 verses 20 through 22.
Genesis chapter 1 verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth.
All right, cool. So we're gonna go back to this again. I just want to let the brother Yonathan read that. That, and many people are familiar with Genesis chapter 1. Many people are, but you know, you never read it distinctly like the Bible instructs us to do. We're not going to go through all this. This is the fifth day, so I'm not going to go through the previous 4 days of creation or actually how long each one of these days actually was in God's timeline. But in coming here in Genesis, again, chapter 1, verse 20, and the Most High said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life. Now, a lot of people will read this, and because of what you received in church, through religion, through movies in the media, through paintings, you're really under the misconception and misdirection that it was only Adam and Eve in the very beginning. And that is false. That is untrue. That, as we will find out, as we go through this now, as you read this distinctly, there were nations on the planet Earth before Adam and Eve. That mankind, people were actually created before Adam and Eve. Just to put a thought in the mind, where else would Cain have got his wife? After Cain killed Abel, according to what colonizers have deceived the world with, that it was just Adam and Eve. They were butt naked, and they ate that a snake slithered up to them. Or actually, I guess it had two legs, and I guess it was some kind of de-evolution. It was Adam and Eve. They were butt naked in the garden. The snake walked up to them, so it tricked them into eating the apple. And then from there, God came down. He was upset. He kicked the one man Adam and the one man Eve out the garden, and then took the legs and arms from the snake, and that's why the snake's slithering around on the ground now, because they ate the apple. That's what the colonizers would have us believe happened. But we know that after getting kicked out of paradise, Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel were offering up sacrifices to the Most High. Cain offered up the wrong sacrifice and was told that he would have to be subservient to his younger brother, Abel, when it came to serving God, because Abel knew what he was doing. Abel knew the correct way to serve God, and that he was going to be over his brother Cain and directed him how to serve God. Cain got envious, Cain got mad, Cain got covetous, and Cain killed his brother Abel. Part of the curse that was placed on Cain was that Cain was going to become a vagabond and beg. There was a mark placed on Cain. A lot of people think it was a tattoo. It wasn't. But there was a mark placed on Cain. He was going to be a vagabond and beg. And he was kicked. He was separated. And if anybody found Cain, they would be killed. Now, if we go by what colonizers have given us, if it was only Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Cain kills Abel, that means there will only be three people on the planet. Then, according to what colonizers would have us believe, the only people that could find Cain would have been Adam and Eve. If we listen to what, and through the filter of what Europeans have given us, what colonizers have given us, what Christianity has given us, what religion has given us. But immediately after Cain departed from the area where Adam and Eve were, he settled in the land of Nod. In the Bible, the land got its name from the people. Whatever people settled in these lands, that became the name of that land. And it says that there Cain got his wife. So colonizers will come back and try and put the thing in your mind. Well, Adam and Eve must have had other brothers and sisters for him to do that. No. Even Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve did have more brothers and sisters. Cain didn't marry a sister. There are more people on the planet before Adam and Eve. And this is what Genesis chapter 1, verse 20 through 22 explains to us. But again, I know a lot of this is going to be hard for people to understand. It's like if you ever try and learn Hebrew, if English was your first language and you try and come to learn Hebrew, it's going to be hard for you to learn Hebrew because you're going to try and learn Hebrew with an English mind, with English rules. It's not going to work. You have to learn English according to English rules, and you got to learn Hebrew according to Hebrew rules. If you learn Spanish and English was your first language, if you're still trying to come and learn Spanish with an English mind, it's not going to work. You're not going to get it. If Spanish was your first language and try and learn English. It's not going to fit. Because you're still trying to use Spanish rules to learn English. So as we come back now, we're trying to get into these scriptures now, as we've been trying to do. I'm trying to reveal, I want hopefully be able to help reveal the level of corruption and pollution and filtering of colonizers that has been placed upon us, that as we go through this, the mind is going to want to go back to the colonizer's mindset. It's going to want to fight to go back to that Christian colonizer's mindset and not go by what the scriptures actually say. And yes, brothers and sisters, this was done by design. They know that the scripture says everything done in darkness will come to light. Christ said that. So they know they can't. Eventually the truth is going to have to come out. But this was their way of still trying to direct how the truth is going to come out. If they get, you know, the American court systems is all about being able to present a reason of doubt. All about being able to present, supposedly innocent until proven guilty. Especially if you're one of our people, one of the Israelites, you're guilty until proven innocent. But among themselves, it's guilty, it's innocent until proven guilty. And in their own devilish, democratic court systems and sense of justice, if they can present just a little bit of doubt, well, couldn't it be this? Couldn't it be that? Yeah, now you got to throw the whole thing out because you was able to get one person to doubt. That's their whole legal system. So they understood that they had to do the same thing, knowing that you're not going to stop the Israelites from finding out the Israelites. But if you can still taint that somehow, if you can still divert that somehow, you can prolong your leadership and prolong your rulership and prevent and delay, I should say, delay Christ is coming to save his people, save us, the Israelites. So I know a lot of these things that we go over, and this topic I'm going over right now, for a lot of people, it's mental shutdowns. I know this. And I contemplate this, and I'm trying to bring this information out. So in coming back now to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20, let's read this one more time.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life.
Now, again, from religion and a colonizer's point of view, we would be thinking that this was creation of all animals. And we might get a scene from the Sahara or safari down in Africa. You get the giraffes and the antelope, and you got the hippopotamuses, and you got the elephants, and you got some monkeys, and you got some frogs, and you got some crocodiles and some alligators. You got the wildebeest. You get the hyenas. You might have some tigers. You might have some squirrels, some deer. I don't have forgot them. You got doves and crows and vultures. And doves, and you got some ostriches are running over there, and you got some zebras. How the hell I forgot the zebras? You got the zebras, and you got some donkeys, maybe some horses, some camels. You got some. There's the remnant of an iceberg floating by. You got some penguins on it. You got, look in the water over there. A whale just, you know, a sperm whale just came about the water. There's some dolphins and some seals and some otters. There's some starfish. How do you get starfish? Then you got some spiders, some tarantulas, some black widows, some daddy long legs, some praying mantises. You got some beetles. You got mosquitoes all over the place. You got leeches. What am I missing? Woolly mammoths. There's some woolly mammoths.
Maybe some brontosauruses.
There might be some brontosauruses as they're slowly walking by. Some raptors. You got some pterodactyls flying overhead. And this was creation. But that's only coming through the filtered eyes of colonizers. There's no illusion that mankind might have developed, especially now when the white man colonizers come with their science. Oh, the Big Bang Theory? And that the Earth is some 4 billion years old? And that really we're just the result of a bunch of mutations? That we started as an amoeba? That two atoms collided in space, which was the Big Bang, and then the carbon got together with the nitrogen, which got together with some oxygen, and then the lightning struck somehow in this stew of elements. It created a one-cell amoeba, and then after a million years, somehow land appeared, and then the amoeba wanted to get out of the water and out of the sludge, so it, like a tadpole, it developed arms, and after another million years, it walked up on the earth, and then after another couple million years, it wanted to climb a tree. Then after a couple million years, it grew a tail and some hands and became a monkey. Then it fell off the tree and mutated into an antelope. Went back in the water, and it became the whales and a platypus and came back out of the water. And went back in the tree, became the saber-toothed tiger. Fell out of that tree again, became a monkey, and then an orangutan, and then a gorilla, and then a Neanderthal, to a Homo sapien, to mankind. If we let colonizers tell it their way. And then because they use the word science, it must be true because it's what they said. Because it's what they came up with. No. No, 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 no. Whether it's science or religion, it's all to keep us away from the truth. Now, it said, and God said that the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life. Is it recorded in the Bible that men are considered creatures? Besides just the animal life, besides just the sea life. We're going to hold Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, and we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We're going to hold Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. And we're going to get 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Got it?
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
So, here we have, as we actually read the Bible, and not just look at the Bible stories and the Bible pictures that colonizers gave us. Here, we're saying when we actually read the Bible, that yes, man is considered a creature. A man who's now in Christ is considered what? A new creature. So yes, even in the Bible, man, humans, I'll put it like that, are considered creatures. And I know this is going against everything that your mom taught you, your grandma taught her, your great-grandmother taught her. I know this is going against what Joel Osteen might teach besides the prosperity living. I know this is going against what the Pope and the Catholics might be talking about. But this is what the Bible is saying.
So again, Genesis, if we go back now to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20,
and now let's read again in its pure context. Go ahead.
Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life.
The moving creature that has life. Does mankind, human beings, we're already creatures, do we have life? Yes, we do. As well as maggots, cockroaches, stingrays, snails, baboons, orangutans, chimpanzees, giraffes, dolphins, whales, porcupines, armadillos, hamsters, mice, squirrels, the flying squirrel, a kangaroo, a Tasmanian devil, moving, let the waters, and where waters means elements, let the elements bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life. Now, I hope everybody, if you're reading along, you'll see the comma after life. Read.
And fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven.
Read on.
And God created great whales.
And God created great whales. Read.
And every living creature that moveth.
And every living creature that moves. Are humans alive? Yes. Are humans creatures? Yes.
Again,
this goes against what the colonizers gave you in their science class. See, in the science class, the age of the dinosaurs was millions of years before any Neanderthal, Homo, whatever, man showed up. That's what they would have you believe. But here we're finding out that on this day that God was doing this in his time, every living creature that moves. Reading on.
Which the waters brought forth abundantly.
Which the waters, and remember, elements come in three forms. A liquid, a solid, or a gas. We know that the element of water, H2O, two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. That comes in three forms. As a solid, H2O, which we know as water, as a solid, it's known as what? Ice. As a liquid, it's known as what? Water. Then as a gas, it's known as what? Steam. This is all the elements. And there's nothing on the planet Earth that was not made unless it came from the elements. You can read this. You can find out it's carbon prints. It breaks down, and every element is either liquid, a solid, or a gas. Every element. You cool it down enough, it becomes a solid. You warm that solid up a little bit, it becomes a liquid. Warm that liquid up even further, it becomes steam, a gas. That's every element. So here we're seeing among the elements and the waters, the elements brought forth abundantly. Where are we at?
After their kind.
After their kind. Abundantly, including people. They were brought forth abundantly. Read.
And every winged fowl after his kind.
If we want to know what came first, the chicken or the egg, the rooster. Because everything's after his kind. Read.
And God saw that it was good.
And God saw that what was going on was good. Reading on.
And God blessed them.
And then God blessed them. Who? Every one of these living creatures. including the people, the living creature that moves, including people. God also blessed them, go ahead,
saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth.
So, to be fruitful and multiply is what God told all these living, moving creatures, including people. Including people. Now, let's move on to creature. One of Webster's 1828 dictionary. One of Webster's 1828 dictionary, and we want to get the definition, there's several definitions. Well, actually, we're just going to go to the third definition. I don't even want to play with this right now. We're going to go to the third definition from Webster's 1828 dictionary for the word creature.
Creature, from the Webster's 1828 dictionary, a human being.
Yeah.
That's right.
One of the definitions for creature is a human being. So what was told to all that was made? For them to be fruitful and multiply. First off, they are already created abundantly. There was an abundance of human beings created, as well as animal life, as well as nature. And then as multitudes that were created, they were told to do what? To be fruitful and to multiply. Including human beings, including people. Now we can go deeper into this. I do have the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia for Creature. I'm gonna say that because I know a lot of people's minds right now is being blown. I know the attention span right now is shot. Cool, but let's do this. I'm gonna go to Webster's 1913 dictionary and get the word abundantly. I'm going to Webster's 1913 dictionary, and I'm going to get the word abundantly. Do you have that?
I'm getting it.
Okay.
Abundantly, in a sufficient degree, fully, amply, plentifully, in large measure.
So, to also, the people that were created, they were created abundantly. So there was a large measure of what people that were created, as well as all the animal life, as well as all the sea life. They were created plentifully in a large measure. Okay? From there, let's really go back to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to be verse 21.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 21, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind.
After their kind. So guess what? Among these people, not only do we have the different sex, because even among wild cats, you got lions, tigers, pumas, lynxes. Give me some wild cat, big cats. The saber-toothed tiger, you got leopards, jaguars, cheetahs, and each one of them is made how? After their kind, even though they're part of the cat family. In the dog family, you got bears, but you got wolves, you got coyotes, you got huskies, malamutes, you got hyenas, you've got chows, you've got poodles, you've got chihuahuas, you've got boxers, pit bulls, Doberman pinschers, schnauzers. What's the little hot dog? The hot dog dogs.
Dachshunds.
And that's even in, so you have all the different kinds of canines, and they're different, even though they're still canines. Cats, monkeys, the rhesus monkey to the one with the one with the red butt to
chimpanzee.
Monkey family, whatever that is, but they're after their kind. So how does this apply to people? That you had, even at this time, you had people after their kind of what will become known as nations. That they even became nations. Mind you, this is all before the creation of Adam and Eve that we're about to get to. Reading on.
Verse 22. Verse 22. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind.
Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Read.
Cattle and creeping things.
Cattle and creeping things. Now we have oxes, bison, bulls, elk, moose, deer, what kind of different kinds of cattle are there? Cows, milk cows,
Holstein
cows,
Jersey
cows, all the different types of cattle that there are, and creeping things. Read.
And beasts of the earth.
And beasts of the earth. We want to highlight that word beast. Go ahead.
After his kind.
The beast after his kind. Go ahead.
And it was so.
Read.
And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good.
And God saw that it was good. Now, this is what we did with the word creature. Can we go in the Bible and see where mankind, humans, are called, known as creatures in the Bible? Can we also go in the Bible and find where men or people are known as beasts in the Bible? Let's go to Psalms chapter 73, verse 22. All right, so we're just doing, while the brother now is getting that, I'm going to find this other scripture real quick. Maybe I'm not. All right, cool.
Can we find where
mankind or men or people are referred to as beasts?
Psalms chapter 73, verse 22. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee.
Uh-oh. This is King David. This is King David now saying this, according to Psalm chapter 73. In the 73rd Psalm, verse 22, what is David saying? So foolish was I and ignorant. So look at the characteristics that David is now outlining. To be foolish and to be ignorant.
I was a beast before thee.
I was as a beast before thee. So David came to understanding that when you're foolish and you're ignorant, God sees, if you're human, let's get that first. If you're a human being and you're foolish and ignorant to God's ways, how does God see you? As a beast. You're seen as a beast. So guess what? All that was made, including people, when it came to God's way of doing things, all these people, even within their kind or within their nations, they were still foolish and ignorant to God's ways. So guess what they refer to as? Beasts. So when you're reading Genesis, you know, it's funny. people try and go to this deep, deep, deep. Give me Ecclesiastes 12 and 12.
There's a lot of people that be on this search for the Bible code. There's got to be some secret hidden message in the Bible, and that you need to get some special glasses or become part of some type of secret society, or you got to become enlightened by smoking some type of dope herb, taking some type of drug, so that you might be able to truly understand what the Bible's talking about. You out your damn mind. You out your damn mind. It's all right here in the scriptures. But it was hid. The understanding of these scriptures was hid. That's what David told, y'all remember, that's what David told Daniel. Seal the words of this book until the time of the end. That there was a time, Amos 8 and 11, that there was going to be a famine of hearing the word of God. So with that being said, that means that there had to be a time and place where we weren't getting the word of God. We were getting religion. We were getting Christianity. We weren't getting God's understanding. The seals that's spoken about in Revelations, the seals hadn't been broken yet. The understanding of the prophecies, the understanding of what this Bible's talking about, hadn't been given yet. So there's no way that the leaders of your churches, the organizers of your churches, whether it's John Smith with the Jehovah's Witnesses, or the popes with the Catholic Church, or whoever started the Methodist Church, or whoever started the Episcopalian Church, or Martin Luther who started the Lutheran Church, or Calvin who started the Calvin Church, there's no way they had this understanding. None. That would make God a liar. So for generations, eyes have been pushed. Men's thought pattern has been pushed. And again, now we're on to this thing about there's going to be a secret code. And I'm not going to read the Bible. I got to go on the treasure hunt and find the secret glasses with the secret gem, with the secret Indiana Jones journey. I might be able to get the cup that Jesus drank from at the Last Supper. So once I drink from it, I might truly be enlightened and know the wisdom and knowledge of God. There's got to be an elixir out there. There's got to be a crystal. And as the Doctor Strange movie's about to come out, there's got to be the Namaru or some shit that is going to reveal now the secrets of the world and the secrets of what God's really talking about. Guess what? It's right here in the Bible. You need the Bible to understand the Bible. So, where are we at right now?
Ecclesiastes chapter 12:12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end.
There's all types of science books, religious books, books on every damn thing. He said, of making many books, there's no end. The Library of Alexandria, the Library of Russia, or the Library of Congress. Please. Of making many books, there is no end. Read.
And much study is a weariness of the flesh.
And that's studying the Bible. That's not what it's talking about. To go and study all that other nonsense, as if now that's going to get you closer to God? Wouldn't that be taking God's glory from him? You're going to search for God in other books? Your perception of heaven is based on some bitch that wrote Harry Potter? Your perception of the fourth dimension is what Stan Lee showed you in some comics? What you received from some anime? Yeah. And not from the Bible. And again, because the Bible's too boring. The Bible actually makes you think. The Bible actually makes you think. and it takes away from the dreams and imaginations that your enemies have placed in your head. You're not using your own mind. If you're using your own mind, then what is God's plan for Israelites? Then you will be using that mind of what God's plan for Israelites are, not God's plan for Americans. And you're trying to reach this thing that's been given to you here in America. They got nothing to do with the Bible, what God has going on. You don't have your own mind, but you've been deceived in thinking that you get the freedom of religion. I get the freedom of thought. I get the freedom to be myself. Who would benefit from you having that thought? The same people that will come back now, give you a jaywalking ticket to get you arrested, so that you're going to be going to a privately owned prison. Being force-fed pork. Sunday's a day of worship. And now that you work for slave wages, you're keeping the American machine going, even though you paid your taxes. You fought for this country. So of all these books, it's funny, again, I only brought that scripture up for all the people that want to get caught up in so many books and so many movies and so much whatever, but you don't want to get caught into the Bible, God's word. And then you want to try and transpose what you got from religion, cartoons, the Marvel universe, and you want to try and put that on top of the Bible and make it all fit. You can't put a square peg in a round hole. But somehow you're thinking that you got your own mind, and truth of the matter, you don't. We still be just as foolish and ignorant to God's ways as if we've never ever read the Bible, because we don't. It's still being filtered from our enemies. So it's, again, instead of having to go through all these different scenarios and all these different books, and looking for the book of Jasher, the book of Enoch, and the book of the secrets of Mary, and the secret mason book of the Egyptians, just read the Bible. Like the scripture says, do that precepts, I get understanding. But I also said the precepts are written here a little, there a little. You got to study the Bible if you want to get God's ways. If you want to come back to what your God-given, your true mind. From there, let's go to Psalms chapter 69 and verse 5. Let's finish with the book of Psalms, chapter 69 and verse 5. We'll go to the book of Psalms, chapter 69 and verse 5.
Psalms, chapter 69 and verse 5. O God, thou knowest my foolishness.
All right, so again, David said, you know my foolishness. Read.
And my sins are not hid from thee.
That's going to come back. And our sins are not hid from him. Read our.
Let not him that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake.
I want to just verse 5, right?
Yes.
That's it.
That was it. Oh God, that was my foolishness.
That when you're foolish, what are you doing? You're sinning. And you're a beast. That you don't know God's ways. Like a true animal. You only go by your instincts. Superstitions. How you feel. You're not being directed by God. You're being directed by how you feel. Like an animal. You feel a certain way. I tell you, you can't tame a wild animal or bring a wild animal that wild animal is still a wild animal. There's many times they want to bring the killer whales into SeaWorld or what have you. Why do people still get killed? Because the animal is a wild animal.
Well, you got a bear sitting. You
sitting next to a bear in a vet, an area clinic, and that bear attacks you.
Exactly. Sigmund Freud or Sigmund Roy. Why that nigga got chewed up? Those animals are still wild. They're still beastly. They still go by their instincts. And we've been taught to believe that if you have a feeling, that must be from God. And for people who have not been taught to read the Bible and understand the Bible, all you have to think about or be left with is how you feel and what you dream must be real. Not even realizing that that's foolish and has you sinning when it comes to God's plans. And I'm not talking about Drake's song, God's Plan, God's Plan. No, I'm not going there. From there, let's get Psalm 792 and verse 6. Now, we're going to read this backwards. We're going to read Psalm 792, verse 6, and then we're going to jump back and read Psalm 792, verse 5. So we're going to Psalm 792, verse 6, and then we're going to read Psalm 792, and verse 5.
Psalms chapter 92, verse 6. A brutish man knoweth not.
And another key word we're going to need, a brutish man. Let's keep this in order. A beast, foolish, ignorant, and now brutish. A brutish man, what?
Knoweth not.
There's no way you know God. A brutish man knoweth not. Go ahead.
Neither doth a fool understand this.
And neither does a fool understand this. That's it. That's verse 6, right? Read verse 5 now.
92:5. Yeah. Psalms 92, verse 5. O Lord, how great are thy works.
So what does a brutish man not know? What is a fool ignorant of? God's works. All you know is what you feel. I feel horny. I feel angry. I feel mad. I feel frustrated. I feel hungry. I feel sleepy. I feel like climbing this tree. I feel like getting in the water. I feel like yawning. I feel curious. I feel. And while you go by your feelings, there's no way you know God. Read verse 6 one more time and jump over to verse 5.
Psalms 92, verse 6. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. Verse 5. O Lord, how great are thy works.
There's no way you understand how God works. Especially how that you've been filtered from 1492, your filter on God, your outlook on God has been given to you by colonizers. Since 1492, generation after generation after generation after generation, from 1492 until present, your whole filter and understanding of God has been given to you by colonizers, has been given to you by the enemies of God. So there's no way, you being foolish and ignorant, that you know God's ways or you truly understand God's ways. There's no way. Read.
And thy thoughts are very deep.
And you'll never understand God's thoughts because you're too busy thinking about how you feel. You're too busy focusing on what you feel and what you want, your own desires and your own lusts. There's no way you think about God's thoughts. Now, properly, there's no way. You think about God through Christianity, through science, through superstition, through what you feel, but not according to what God wrote in this Bible. And especially if you're not a Hebrew Israelite, that God set apart to worship and serve him. For me, let's get Proverbs chapter 30. Let's get Proverbs chapter 30, verses 2 and 3. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 2 and 3. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 2 and 3.
Proverbs chapter 30, verse 2. Surely I am more brutish than any man.
Truly I am more brutish than any man. Talking about man. Got nothing to do with a gorilla, a lion, a chimpanzee, a giraffe, saber-tooth tiger, a raptor, a brontosaurus. This is about men. Go ahead.
And have not the understanding of a man.
And you don't even have the understanding of a man. Uh-oh. You're not even recognized as a man in God's eyes. When all you operate off is how you feel, I know that the American colonizing has taught you that at the age of 18, you're a man. The age of 21, you're a man. And as a man, you can do what you want. And if you feel something, you're king of your castle. And you can do what you want, how you want, when you want, because now you're grown because you're a man. I know that's what has been spoon-fed to us. From 1492. But guess what? When you're Brutus, everything you do is off of instincts. God does not recognize your manhood. And we're going to get into that. You're still very much considered a beast. Reading on.
Proverbs chapter 30, verse 3. I neither learned wisdom.
Say what?
I neither learned wisdom.
As a brute beast, you didn't learn wisdom? You ain't learned God? You learned when you're hungry how to hunt. You learned when you're horny how to mate. You learned when you're cold how to get warm. You ain't learned God's wisdom? Read.
Nor has the knowledge of the holy.
And you have no knowledge of the holy. And again, who did God set apart to be holy? The children of Israel.
You know, we always say wisdom is the prayer. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. So knowledge is the holy.
Yes. Of God's knowledge.
God's knowledge. So we have no wisdom.
Uh-oh. I like where he's going with that. And try to cut it a little bit more. Let's get Ecclesiastes, chapter 3 and verse 18.
Let's get Ecclesiastes, chapter 3 and verse 18.
Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 18. I said in mine heart concerning the state, concerning the estate of the sons of men.
So now, we were reading Genesis chapter 1, and we were all the way down to verse 25, where it says, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind. So what we've been doing is, can we find in the Bible where God refers to men as beasts, as brutes? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 18.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 18. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest in them. And that they might see that they themselves are beasts.
What are men?
Beasts.
Yes. A man who's brutish, you only go by your instincts and your feelings, God sees you as a beast. You're foolish and ignorant. You've not been taught and learned God's ways, but you know how to be a good American, a good Christian. In God's eyes, you're still a beast. You are a beast. I still, you are a beast. You're not a man. It don't matter if you don't put a bow tie on, now you're going to recognize me as a man. No, God ain't going to recognize you as a man. Why is that? Let's get Proverbs 12 and 8. Let's get Proverbs chapter 12, verse 8.
Proverbs chapter 12, verse 8. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom.
God says, a man... He recognizes, that's the word commended, awarded, recognized. A man should be commended according to his wisdom. God said, I'll know a man by his wisdom. Does this man have God's wisdom? Or is this man still going by his instincts? Is this person still going by his feelings? Like a little kid, like a brat, like a beast, then you're not a man in the eyes of God. So, yes, we're finding out that men are considered beasts even in the Bible. Now, let's get 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12.
2 Peter
and I'm going through all this. I know the times is about to hit us up, and we have to get ready for work tonight. I'm going through all this. We're going through this to show that, yes, there were people on the planet Earth before Adam and Eve. There were nations on the planet Earth before Adam and Eve. And that, well, let's just keep going.
2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. But these as natural brute beasts.
But these men as natural brute beasts. They only go by what they know naturally, their feelings, their instincts. What they know naturally. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm hungry. I'm tired. You only know the only thing you know is what you know naturally. As a brute beast, Brad.
Made to be taken and destroyed.
What is supposed to happen with a brute beast? A brute beast is made to be taken and destroyed. Why do we eat cows? Chickens. They're food. Maybe not that we're going to eat men. That's not. I didn't bring that example for that picture to be painted in the mind. But they get destroyed. That's how we know, like when the scripture says, the spirit of a man goes up, but the spirit of an animal, soul of an animal, goes down to the ground. Ain't no animals going up into heaven. As if they got a soul? No. They're food. You eat them. That's why, like, they can be incest among in the world of nature, because they know what? It's time to mate. She's in heat. Who cares if it's his mother? They're animals. Brothers and sisters, they'll mate. Why? They're animals. They'll eat anything. They're beasts. They're animals. Read on.
Speak evil of the things that they understand not.
So what does a natural brute beast do? He speaks evil of the things you don't understand. I understand the Bible. I understand why I got to do this. I understand why it's got to be this way. Don't you know I feel this way? Don't you know when you read scripture that makes me feel this way? That's why I'm going to read scriptures. I don't understand why it's got to be my feeling. I'm not feeling that. As if you're saying something new. Okay, so you're not feeling it? Then according to the Bible, you're a brute beast. Ain't nobody denying that's how you feel. At the same time, God ain't denying you're a brute beast. All you understand is your instincts and your feelings. Reading on.
And shall utterly perish in their own corruption.
And you're going to perish in your crazy mindset that got nothing to do with God. It's going to kill you. It's going to kill you because you won't even allow someone to show you God's way. You're so stuck. Okay, 90 seconds. Let's get Psalms chapter 94 and verse 8. Psalms chapter 94 and verse 8. Let's get that real quick.
Psalms chapter 94 and verse 8. Understand, ye brutish among the people.
You want to be a brute? Then understand. Go ahead.
And when will ye be wise?
You're a brute. You're a beast. You get mad and angry and throw temper tantrums. All right, cool. All right. But when are you going to get some real wisdom and real understanding?
When you get God's wisdom and understanding come in, that's not based on how you feel. It's not based on your instincts. You brute beast.
From there, let's get Jeremiah 4:22.
Let's get Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22.
Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22. For my people is foolish.
And what did God even know about his people? We're foolish. We've been under the hand of our enemies who have been teaching us nothing but lies and the wrong perceptions since 1492. That when it comes to God's ways, we have not learned God's ways. We weren't reading. We were being punished, tortured, forced to accept whatever it is they spoon-fed us. So when it comes to the ways of God, we don't know. All we know is our instincts. Why do you think Spider-Man is so popular? With his spider sense. Now, obviously, from the way I feel, that must be from God. Read on, verse 22.
Jeremiah 4, verse 22. For my people is foolish, they have not known me. They are sottish children.
We are sottish children. We're sottish, stupid. Actually, says stupefied is what it says, stupefied. When it comes to God's knowledge and God's way of doing things, I don't care if you got a PhD. You're stupid. That's what God says. But you're thinking because the white man, the colonizers, gave you a degree, you're smart. Because your master gave you a master's degree, somehow that's supposed to translate over to God. Somehow you a pimp on the streets. You've mastered these streets. All right, cool. What does that mean? What's that gonna do with God? What's that gonna do with you learning God's ways? Not one damn thing. Not one thing. You're a mountain man. You learn mountain survival. What does that got to do with God? Not one damn thing. Finish it.
And they have none understanding.
And when it comes to God, you got no understanding. We've never been given understanding of God. For generation after generation after generation after generation, from 1492, if it feels good to you, oh, that must be God. If it don't feel good, oh, that must not be God. If it feels good to you, oh, that's the spirit. If it don't feel good, that can't be the spirit. Our sense of right and wrong has been given to us or milked by how we feel or by what America says, but not by what God says. Was that verse 22?
They are wise to do evil.
And because we don't know God's ways, God says we are what? Wise to do evil. When it comes to an excuse of why you don't have to do what God says, you can come up with all the wisdom of why you ain't got to do it the way God wants to, because it goes against how you feel. Our people, you have wisdom, but the wisdom you have is how to do evil, how to do things the American way. How to do things the beastly way, according to your instincts, according to how you feel. And God says, that's evil. Read.
But to do good, they have no knowledge.
But to do God's good, we have no knowledge. Jeremiah 5 and 4. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 4.
Jeremiah chapter 5. In verse 4, Therefore, I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish.
Surely these are poor and are what?
Foolish.
Read.
For they know not the way of the Lord.
Because we don't know the way of the Lord. We're foolish. We don't know the way of the Lord. So what does this make us? Beasts. This makes us beasts. Last chapter. I got to get this. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 10. This is going to be the last chapter for tonight. Jeremiah chapter 10, we're going to read verses 2 through 8, and then we're going to jump. Jeremiah chapter 10, we're going to start at verse 2, and we're going to read through 8.
Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen.
And again, learn not the way of the heathen. Because I'm in a real time constraint, we got to get out of here. When you look at the word heathen means the people who have not made the God of the Bible their God. So it's saying, learn not the way of the people who have not made the God of the Bible their God. Don't learn their ways. They're foolish. They're brutish. They're beasts. They're creatures. They're ignorant.
And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven.
Right.
For the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain.
Just the customs of the people. All these different nations that was made before Adam, all the different customs when it comes to God are vain. Everybody outside of Israel that God didn't give his word to, his knowledge to, everything they do is vain. God said to Israelites to be apart, to worship and serve him. God has not dealt so with any other nation. Why are we continually trying to bring how other nations worship their God to how we worship our God? How would that be us being set apart? If I'm still trying to serve God with a Christian mind, how is that set apart? How is that what God wants? How many millions of Christians are there? Let me get it. How many billions of Catholics are there? So how the hell is that being set apart? How many Lutherans, Methodists, Episcopalian, Seventh-day Adventists, non-denominational, Hindu, Islamic, Taoism, that you're doing things their way? How is that set apart? And you're trying to bring that to the service of God, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Tell me how that makes sense. Ain't that what the Israelites got punished for and what we got kicked out of the land of milk and honey for in the first place? Trying to bring the customs and the rituals of what the other nations were doing to the service of God, that we think we're going to do the same thing here in America? How does that make sense? Reading on.
For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hand of the workman, with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good.
So he just described one of the customs that the heathen do, that the people of the world do, which is would be described as like today's modern day Christmas. Reading on.
For as much as there is none like unto thee.
There is none like unto the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The way the other gods of the other nations get worshipped and get served, you cannot bring any of that to how the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob wants to be served or worshipped. His way is separate from everything else. Read.
O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might.
What verse is that?
Verse 6.
Go ahead.
Verse 7. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it pertain, for so much, for as much as among all the wise men of the nation, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee.
So for all the wise men of the nations, the wisdom of how the other nations operate has nothing to do with how God operates, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob operates. So that might be wise for their nation. You can't bring that to what God has going on for the Israelites. That is not going to be accepted. That wisdom is how to serve that nation, how to serve that church or that religion, which has nothing to do with how to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Creator, the Most High. Jumping down now to verse 21.
Verse 21. For the pastors are become brutish.
For the pastors of our people are become what? Brutish. Ignorant. Sensual. The pastors have become brutish. But let me guess. Not your pastor, right? Not your pastor. Yeah, what pastors could you possibly be talking about? Read.
And have not sought the Lord.
And have not sought the Lord. They're thinking to get their pockets deep. They're not trying to really serve God and give the God of the Bible to the people. They want to give the God of prosperity, the God of following your dreams. I'm going to tell you what you want to hear, so you put money in my offering plate.
Speak to me a smooth thing.
Speak to me. These guys are going to speak smooth things. Just keep them paid. Read.
Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered.
Go ahead.
Behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country.
What verse is this?
Verse 22.
We're going to read through 24, and we'll stop. Go ahead.
And to make the cities of Judah desolate as a den of dragons. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself.
The way of man is not in himself. Because all we go by as men, human beings, is our instincts, is our feelings. So our way is not really in ourselves. We have no control of ourselves. We just go by what we feel. Why do you attend the church you attend? Because you like the way the pastor makes you feel. Why do you not attend church? You don't like the way it makes you feel. I like what he says because he's telling me what I want to hear. He caters to my feelings. He caters to my senses. Really?
Oh, Lord, I know the way of man is not in itself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps.
Because you can't direct your steps when all you go by is how you feel. To direct your steps means someone's guiding you besides your feelings. Someone's guiding you to resist your feelings, go against your feelings, and follow the way of God. This is how God wants things done. To direct you. But no, I'm a man. Because I've been told since 1492 that as long as I make my own decision that please America, I'm a man. If I make a decision that please America, which please me, so I keep paying my taxes, I'll be a good citizen, then I'm a man, and now I got freedom of thought. I ain't going to let nobody control me. You don't see where you get that madness from? Read.
O Lord, correct me, but with judgment.
Correct me, but with judgment. Every people don't want to be corrected. I don't want to be told that I can't live my dreams, I can't live my life, I can't do things the way I want to do things.
Not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. That was verse 24.
Cool. So we're going to end it with that, brothers and sisters. We got to go get these, our plantation job, because we're still very much in captivity. We're still very much in the hand of our enemies. Oh, patiently awaiting when the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Hamashiach,
Yahweh Shai might finally come and get us from this place. All right, so with that, tomorrow is Wednesday? Yeah, today's Wednesday. I'm supposed to have an eye procedure tomorrow.
It's going to have me blinded.
It's going to have me literally blinded. So it's going to be hard to see the class. If I can get some readers here, then maybe we can steal the whole class down. I want to finish this. I want to finish this. Cool. So with that, we would like to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. If you caught the live show, or if you had the archive show, thank you very much for tuning in. I will try to get a class tomorrow. Like I said, if I can get some readers here, because I've got the class on a Word document here on this computer here at Yonatan's place. So we can get it read, and I can still break it down. So I don't need my eyes for that. I can hear where we at, and we can still go from there. And again, I'm being inspired by the prophet Paul that had an infirmity in his flesh, but Christ said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. Keep on moving. Don't stop. Rock the hands of time." You know, the theme song. So with that, I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you, Brother Yonatan, for being here with me. You are a treasure. You really are. The water, brother, for your diligence. I know you are exhausted. I know you're wore out. Tawada, as a brother, to a brother, I can't give you salvation. That's Christ's job, but Tawada. Can't give anybody salvation. Tawada. But with that,
how would you lead us to that, right?
I'm sorry?
You lead us to that, right?
I'm going to lead you to the scriptures. So, so everybody tuned in. I like what Tesla did with the blog talk here. We have some sound effects. Somebody tune in, give yourselves a hand. All right, now I'll praise to the Most High in Christ. Let's give double honor to him. What we're waiting to hear in America. And with that, we're going to say shalom.
Shalom.